Like to read an email I got yesterday from a Charles Banting. Charles lives in Nova Scotia and has been associated with us for decades now. I met him once in my life. He's more or less my age, I think. He apparently had read a recent newsletter, I think, that sets the context for his remarks. He says, "Dear David, an advance, brilliant, absolutely brilliant." He's making reference to the evolutionary leader's advance, I think. "Barbara Marks Hubbard, such a bright light. David, I'm well into your book, Becoming a Son. It rests on my night table. It continues the invitation to awaken to a more fulfilling and blessed experience of living. I first acknowledged that call when I was introduced to the Handbook to Higher Consciousness by Ken Keyes Jr. in 1979. I took it to heart and engaged the practices. The liberating experiences have become profound over the years of inner work. On Eagle's Wings came into my hands not long afterward. David, I want to thank you and others who keep me in the loop with Emissary Global Activity. In particular, thank you for the regular notification of courses and classes being offered. They all look wonderful and well worth participation. In further appreciation for the work of the emissaries, I want to make a donation. How is this best done? By phone, at the emissary website, or by sending my credit card details by post? My participation will remain indirect, though. It seems I'm faced with terminal illness as my lungs gradually shut down, first affected by a cancer tumor surgery, and now by a spreading fibrosis. My breath is short. I have supplemental oxygen. Love and blessings. I continue with you. Charles." Touching, touching man who loves the truth, and particularly the truth that he finds here in his relationship to us, but also the truth he simply finds in his own life. Over the last little while, I found a phrase coming back up in my mind over and over again. Truth matters. Truth matters. Be a long discussion, could get philosophical as to what the truth is. At the most basic level, I see it as relating to facts. So the truth of what the facts are, there are many people who can't seem to come to terms with that. I think a person's life changes when they just decide it's easier to tell the truth when it comes to the facts. But truth is more than that. Truth is the very pattern of how things are on the outside, but as well on the inside. So it's how you're made and I'm made, how we all fit together. It's the essence of things, which is not some ephemeral thing, but the underlying invisible structure of regenerative culture, of a human being, of reality. Truth. It also relates to how I function as a human being. Back along the way, around here, the word truth and the human experience of truth was related to the word lust. Can you imagine that? Not lust in a sexual sense, in the usual sense, sense of physical sex, but lust in terms of lustiness in life. Lust in terms of that desire to meet one's maker in life, as Karen was describing. The lust to meet the divine, the lust to live. That's the urge of truth as a human being, to fulfill one's destiny as a human being. That urge obviously has been present within the heart of humanity all along. Didn't just get born today. It's certainly in me. I've been thinking seriously about the possibility of organizing a march on the detention center in Homestead, Florida. There are children being kept there under unbearable circumstances. To me, it's a real possibility. I don't know that I'll do it. I have a lot of considerations because there's many other things that my life is about. But I think it's a worthy thing for any American to think about. It's not a matter of politics. It's a matter of morality. It's a matter of truth. And how can I, as a human being, decry Nazi concentration camps or Japanese detention centers and stand idly by and watch this happen? So that's my lust, my truthfulness. I will not keep quiet about that. And I don't suggest that any of us do. And I rather think that if a million of us got on buses and went down there, we might make a difference. We're here to live in the world as people who are responsible for the world in which we live and who use the power of our creativity for good. Truthfully. Truthfully. And truth matters. Truth matters. I applaud good intentions. Without good intentions, we're probably doing some awful things. So good intentions are worthy, and yet there's a certain road that's paved with them that doesn't go to a good place. Truth matters. Truth matters. I had the privilege of doing some teaching, as many of you know, at Omega Institute over this past weekend. It began on Friday night and went through Saturday and then Sunday morning till noon. And Karen and I had frolicked around in the city. We had, we walked about 7 miles, 8 miles, about 8 miles through Central Park. We went down to the World Trade Center. It's breathtaking if you go down there. The monument down there is this fountain that just gets like sucked into a hole in the ground, and you can just feel the grief. It's really very moving. So we went there and traipsed around other places, and then we went got on the train and met Patricia and Keahi and took the 3-hour drive up there and so on and so forth. And so I was teaching the session, and I think my road weariness is catching up to me a little bit. So there's that going on. And we're, you know, kind of plugging through the day on Saturday, and I'm thinking, man, I'm feeling it, like feeling the fatigue. And then I'm wondering, like, is this really going anyplace? Are people having an experience here? Or are we just kind of slogging along? You know, so I had my moment of doubt, if you will. Not the first time, but I've learned to keep going and stay with it and have faith. And we met in the evening, and I could barely talk. It's just like fatigued. And then we woke in the morning and Kristen showed up, Kristen Hoffman. And she began the morning with a singing meditation, like a singing meditation from Kristen Hoffman. It doesn't get much better than that. And then we continued on with the chapters of Becoming a Son, and we went into enlightened thinking. Enlightened thinking. That was beautiful. And you could just feel like the joy coming and the upliftment coming. And then we went on to courage. And we had this fabulous exercise we did, which some of you have done, which is a cheerleading exercise where each one individually who was there got a chance to be cheered on by the rest of the group around something that they were having some kind of stuckness around. And by the time we were done at the end of the morning, it was like we were just flying. And we had participated in a spiritual activation and an upliftment of our spirits and of the contents of our consciousness. And I just knew that there was an illumination that was going on for us all, and a lightness and a wonder, and all the energy I'd brought to it had been part of the activation. So I had the satisfaction and the pleasure of knowing I got to play a part in that. Wow. And I thought about all that, and I thought about the reliability of what I wrote about in my book. You could think of it as a formula. It's a formula that has an intellectual quality to it, but also it's a formula that's accessed through the heart, known through the heart. And it is, in essence, a spiritual formula. It's a formula for creation, for thriving as a human being, for thriving as a human culture. And in fact, that formula is pervasive through all the teachings of emissaries of divine light. Go over in the sanctuary if you haven't gone. Pick up one of the volumes of the Third Sacred School and read it. I don't care what volume, I don't care what chapter, and the formula is in there. There's actually a whole volume that's just on the formula, but volume 6, but the formula is encoded into everything. And every service that we give that's worth the name of being a service is encoded with the formula. And those who know the formula, not just intellectually, although that helps and it becomes important, but knows the formula that brings life and regeneration, if you know it in your heart, you know it in your spirit, and you follow it in your expression and living of life, then you know how to move in it and to invite others to come along. Seems to me our world needs that. That is truth. That is truth. So lacking in the world in which we live. So that brings me to the whole question of leadership. Leadership, what is it? Could be a place on an org chart. I've got the peach place on the org chart. Yeah, you think so? Isn't the very essence of leadership, if you think about the word, what it means, doesn't it mean that you're going someplace? Isn't that what it means to lead? It's not that you're looking back. It's not herding. It's not about herding. It's about leading. It's about going someplace. It seems to me we all have the opportunity to lead. We all have the opportunity to go someplace. We get to see if anybody's going to come along. But if they're going to come along, ultimately they have to lead too. They have to go someplace. I guess they could follow you for a while, follow on after you, but that gets bothersome and tiresome all the way around before very long. My vision of how we're meant to be as humanity and how we're meant to be as a culture, how we're meant to be as a community, is that we're all leading. And then we kind of forget the org chart. We're just all doing our thing, going where we need to go. Keeping track of each other, flock of geese or whatever you want to call it, we're all going. I don't notice the geese are terribly bothered with each other in the V formation. You don't see them arguing up there. They're just flying along. They're all leading where they need to be, all facing forward and moving, going forward. That's actually the point. And as I say, they've got to keep track of each other because I think they're floating on the air currents left by the others. Well, we get to do that too, hopefully. And we do, at our best. And at our worst, there's something else going on. So I do believe we're all here to lead, and it takes courage to lead. So speaking of leading, I'd like to read a few quotes that are appropriate to the holiday. As I said upstairs, this is not only, July 4th is not only my daughter's birthday, but it's also the Independence Day, the birth date of our nation. This is from Thomas Paine. So if you're not familiar with Thomas Paine, he wrote a pamphlet called Common Sense. And it went around the colonies and it inflamed the passions of the colonists at the time. And so he could well be called a firebrand. But anyway, here's what Thomas Paine had to say in this quote. What we obtain too cheap, we esteem too lightly. It is dearness only that gives everything its value. Heaven knows how to put a proper price upon its goods. And it would be strange indeed if so celestial an article as freedom should not be highly rated. highly rated. So the legacy of this place, the legacy of the people that went before us in this place, is a legacy of valuing highly, as Charles Banting did, the truth that they had found and that they were seeking to embody and to give into the world. They valued it so highly that they came here with outhouses and mud roads. I remember the mud roads part. You know, when it was raining out, you walked around. It was deep. It was deep. But it's not just the mud roads. They didn't have a lot of money. They didn't have buildings. They didn't have water. It was scant on the food. You might say they paid the price. And, you know, we come along in some way as the next generation, not having paid that price, but we have to pay our price to honor and value what we have, not only what we have already in form, but what we have to do together, what we have to build together and create together. And if you don't pay that price, make that sacrifice of your own substance, your own initiative, your own courage, you're not valuing what we have to do together. There's a lot of ways to offer your substance, whether it's financial contribution, as Charles was talking about, or whether it's your labors of love here at the ranch, or whether it's your living expression and word of the truth that you know that inspires your friends and fuels what we're doing. Martin Cecil used to say, or at least said on one occasion, that this work that we're doing is fueled by our letters, our labors, and our lucre. Our letters, in other words, our word, our living word, the living word that comes forth from us fuels our work from us all. Give freely. Our lucre, our contributions of money, and our labors. Read another one. Oh, this is hard. Okay, you ready for a hard one? From Samuel Adams. It's hard. It's a hard message, but there's a truth to it. If ye love wealth better than liberty, the tranquility of servitude better than the animating contest of freedom, go home from us in peace. We ask not your counsels or your arms. Crouch down and lick the hands which feed you. May your chains set lightly upon you, and may posterity forget that you were our countrymen. Ooh. It's hard. It's a hard thing to say. But they were in it. They were in it, and it was a life and death matter. And they were laying down their lives. I don't have with me the statistics on what happened to the men who, and they were all men, factually speaking, as far as I know, the men who signed the Declaration of Independence. But it didn't go well, on the whole. It didn't go well for them. They were putting their lives on the line, and they knew it. And I believe that in some way the same issues are for us today. Do you think freedom's an issue in this country? There's a kind of soft slavery, a soft servitude, a soft servitude. And I'm not up for it. I'm not up for it. We seek as much as possible here to be self-reliant in this place. Self-reliant. I want to live a life of self-reliance. And we win our self-reliance through our courage, through our labors, through our letters, and through our lucre. That's a recipe for self-reliance, you think about it. So if we treasure freedom, if we treasure self-reliance, if we treasure doing our thing, not somebody else's thing. We're doing our thing here. I'm doing my thing. How about you? Are you doing your thing? Do your thing. Find that unique lust that's within you, that unique gift, and give it. We're at a point where it's a time of, well, I'll first say it one way. It's a time to give our gift together to the world. Now, we still have to think about each other, and we still have to think about the immediate circumstances, and got to get the wheel line going, which thankfully it's going. And, you know, all the everyday things we're doing at the ranch, so we got to think about all the those everyday things. But still, more and more, this is a time when we as Sunrise Ranch are giving our gift to the world. And I get some opportunity to be the pointy edge of the spear in that regard. Others do too. But really, as a ranch, this is our time. This is our time. And so we have to be like those geese who are flying, and they're going where they need to go, and they're not worrying about the geese next to them. In traveling the world, oh, it's so spectacular. It's so glorious. It's a hard slog, let me tell you, flying around the world. You may not think so, but, you know, hours on an airplane is not my idea of a good time. And being at home, working, in my office, or that's my idea of a good time. But anyway, there's something to do to bring what we're bringing to the world and to invite the world to come here. And then to bring the gifts that we have to bring in all the ways that are obvious. But then there's some of those gifts that are so unique to us and to our own insight, each one of us, that we have to, if you will, mine those gifts in ourselves and then give them. And then pay attention to each other so we can work on a coordinated basis. Because there's no point in being here together as not only a community, but as a team of people if we're not acting like a team and pulling in the same direction and working together. We might as well be out there all by ourselves doing it on our lonesome if we're not going to do it together. So we have to find a way to do it together and bring our genius in a way that complements the genius of the people around us. Somehow got to figure that out. It's that kind of time for us. So another way to explain that is through, for some of you, kind of well-known emissary principle. So this is a description of the law of creation, the one law, and how it works. And as we teach it, it goes like this. Radiation, response, attraction, union, unified radiation. You might say that's the law of reciprocity. So there's a radiation, there's something that we've received of something radiant, and then in receiving it, there's a response. I suppose that's the lust part, the truth part from us, a response. And then we're joining with that radiation. So whatever that core radiation is for this community of people, we all were drawn to it. I was drawn to it. We all came here to be a part of that. Now, are we joining with it all the way? Are we joining with it? And then in a unified way, are we being that? Are we being that for the world, that unified radiation? That's a spiritual matter, I guess you could say, or an energetic matter. Has implications for what we do in a practical sense. But at the root of it, it's an energy. It is an energy. This is an energetic place, whatever else it is. But at its core, it's an energy. You could call it a spiritual energy. It's the very energy of creation, the very energy of a human being. It's the energy of the human spirit. We're here to create an energetic vortex together. This place is shit without that. Pardon me. It is. To be together in community without an energetic vortex that's just powering up and bringing something great to the world that you're proud of and happy about, without being in the exhilaration of that with your friends, I'll go back to New York City. I'd rather be on 14th Street. If we're just going to quibble amongst ourselves and mess around here. No, we're here to create something powerful and beautiful and harmonious. And it doesn't deny the individuality of any of us. It doesn't. It relies on the unique individuality of us all. But then our ability to harmonize together in truth. I think at some point we have to, if we're to be creative together, just come to the conclusion that we're just better off being truthful with each other. And we can do it in a kind way, in a loving way, in an understanding way. But still, we're just better off finding a way to speak directly, one-to-one, with each other. If there's something to talk about, let's talk about it. One of the things I love about Karen, honestly. If you don't know, she's a straight-talking gal. Very loving and very spiritual and very kind, but straight-talking. Makes it easy, actually. So I do believe it's, first of all, just a decision that we're just going to be that way. And then there's a learning of an art, how to do that in a way that's kind and considerate, you know, that doesn't just bowl people over, that it takes into account their own sensibilities as much as we can. But if we're serious about flying together, we have to get honest and truthful with one another to really be about this. And we have to face the possible consequences that if we're really truthful, that we really, well, don't belong with this person or don't belong here or whatever. Right? That could happen. Or that we're going to fall out, if we get really truthful with someone, we're going to fall out of friendship with them. So I guess we can, you know, kind of gauge that. But in the end, isn't it worth it to take the risk? John Lennon said something about that. He said, if you're truthful with people, you may have less friends, but you'll have good ones. Didn't quote it exactly, but it was something like that. Well, of course, there's some discretion in all that, but still, at the root of it, what would it be like if we got truthful with each other? And then, what do they say? Truth, or maybe it's truth and consequences. And, you know, wherever that takes us, that's where it takes us. But then we would be, you know, bedrock with each other. Bedrock. That could be good, right? Bedrock truth with each other. So, began by saying truth matters. Truth brings life, by the way. Truth brings life. Years ago, Jane and I gave a service. I think it was A plus B equals C. So A is the urge, the creative urge. But then B is truth. In other words, just because you have an urge or an intent, a good intent, doesn't mean it's going to come out creatively, right? You have to have the urge, but then you have to have a creative, intelligent, truthful way of expressing that in the pattern of your expression and how you manifest. So A is the urge, B is the truthful pattern through which you express it, and C is life. A plus B equals C. We get to live. You might say that's a definition of what truth is, another definition. It's that pattern of being that lets life thrive. That's not always the politically correct thing. It's not always subject to human opinion. Or it may be contrary to the prevailing opinion. It is what it is. And if we're interested in what brings life, what is truly regenerative, we get really interested in that pattern of how we are together and how we express ourselves that creates life. In the media these days, there's an expression, toxic masculinity. Have you run across that? It's out there. Courtney was telling me somebody gave a TED talk on it. And I do believe there's such a thing as toxic masculinity. Doesn't take a genius to figure that one out. So there is such a thing as that. We could even say there's some toxic masculinity going on for the founding fathers. But is it really about that? Is that what we really want to celebrate? We can take note of it and we can do something about it. And as men, we have responsibility for whatever toxicity is present in our own makeup and deal with it. So that's something to be dealt with for us as men. But I think of all the young men growing up who are at risk of coming to believe that there's something innately toxic about who they are. Something innately toxic about their masculinity. That grieves me when I think of that, that a young man should have to live with that and not discover the joys of his own radiant masculinity. Not discover that his masculinity was actually meant to be an expression of the divine, that it's got that potential. It's got the potential to bring the power and the glory, the truth of that higher reality into the world. And no, we shouldn't be oblivious to any tendencies for us as men or for anyone to impose some kind of toxicity on our world. True enough, and that deserves its attention. But if we're giving that attention, seems to me we ought to give at least equal attention and much more to the celebration of radiant masculinity, the beauty of that. By the way, I think you women would be a lot happier or are a lot happier when that's being celebrated in the men around you. Thank you. But that's something about, well, particularly for us as men, but maybe in a way for all of us, something about us flying together and us moving forward, leading in the way that we're meant to lead and believing in the virtue of the urge to lead and go where we're called to go, and then a belief in the courage that brings us to actually do the deed, not just to talk about it, but to do the deed. So anyway, that's my exhortation for tonight. I hope you found we've followed the formula that brings life. Thank you.